Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of On the Line. Today, I'm going to be doing my very first episode that is interiors themed. And I can't believe it because it's something that I have personally been obsessing over for a very long time. I'm in the middle of a home renovation. So I am joined by Amanda and Kai from At Pinta.
Yay.
Hello.
Did I say that
you
right?
You did.
What is At Pinta? What does that phrase mean? I was Googling it this morning and I was like, how to pronounce?
I think Amanda's best for this one.
I guess the word Pinta is like a word that you don't have in English, but it means sort of to decorate, I guess with small items, so more like doing the little bits after you've done the big decoration. That's kind of what Pint is. So okay. Pinta is to decorate, basically.
What? Yeah, so it's like a Swedish term that they'll use kind of at Christmas time, yeah. Like you're getting the Christmas pinta, the Easter pinta, and then sort of to pinta is kind of like decorating your, it's like a word for like decorating your home, but really doing like the finishing touches.
I mean, what an interesting word that describes all of that.
Yeah.
It's like hygge, is that right?
Yeah.
Actually is, yeah.
It's like that word where you're like, it describes a feeling. That's really nice. So before we get into what your brand is and whatever, I want to know who you are individually. Who wants to start? I want to talk about your journey of life.
Yeah, you can go. Okay.
So I'm half Swedish and half English. So I grew up in Sweden till I was about 8. But my dad kind of was like, oh, I've had enough. I need to go back to England. I miss English tea. So we went back to the UK and then my parents have lived there ever since. So but kind of growing up, I was back and forth a lot for like summers in Sweden and things like that. So they live in Bristol, which is kind of south.
I've never been to Bristol.
It's nice. It's really nice. Yeah. So I grew up there and then about 10 years ago, moved to London after university. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Amanda.
Yeah.
You met Amanda in university.
No, sorry. After I left university.
Okay.
Yeah. So we met in London. Yeah.
We'll get to that. And Amanda, where did you grow up?
So in Sweden. So I'm fully Swedish.
You look like a Swedish goddess. You guys have no idea.
Actually, it was an ancestry test, and I'm like 99% Scandinavian.
You are the
like
most
super rare, like,
Scandi person I've ever
super
seen.
Super inbred, basically. But yeah, so I grew up in Gothenburg.
I've been there.
Have you?
Actually, I have a bad story about Gothenburg.
Oh, no.
I was on a road trip, and our car got broken into in Gothenburg.
No.
Like, windows smashed, and I had spent so much money at like weekday and all these cute
stores.
And they stole all my clothes.
Man.
But, you know, Gothenburg is one of the most amazing cities.
Well, I apologize on behalf of Gothenburg.
No. Well, when I posted about it on the internet and everybody was like, that doesn't happen in Gothenburg.
No, yeah, it's quite like
really safe.
Safe
and
yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's weird as well because we both grew up in Gothenburg. So growing up, we were sort of similar ages and really not far from each other. So we kind of had this theory that maybe we would have passed each
Probably
other as kids
some
or something. Yeah.
Weird.
And our parents went to like the same school and they grew up. Yeah, weird.
Really weird coincidence. Yeah.
I went to the Acne store in Gothenburg and I bought a lot of things.
Oh it's
Acne.
It's dangerous, that store.
Do like real Scandinavian people like Acne as much?
Yeah.
As,
okay. Yeah, they do.
Big time.
Yeah,
big
for
time.
Sure.
What a brand.
I feel like the Scandinavian style is sort of like Acne mixed with H&M.
Yes.
It's like the expensive and the kind of more affordable mix.
Right. Okay,
and the Scandis do love their Scandi brands.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
All the cool Scandi brands out there, like the Scandis are really shopping
it
as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they like invest in their own sort of like brands,
they
if that
really
makes sense.
Live and breathe it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, so
I went to Royal Swedish Ballet School, which is kind of like it's a normal school, but you also have the dancing as well. quite like serious. I used to be, yeah. not any longer. So from about 10 till about 19, I went to this school. So the last 3 years of college is only in Stockholm. So when I was 15, I moved to Stockholm. I lived there for 3 years, which was quite tough, like moving away from home and going to really like hardcore, super strict school. But I moved with some of my friends that I kind of grew up with. So yeah, it was nice. And then after that, I moved here, did a bit of ballet dancing here as well. Then kind of felt like, you know what, it's like a whole other life out there. That's not this crazy, strict discipline life. Yeah. So, and also had lots of injuries. So I was like, decided I'm just going to stay in London for a bit, not dance anymore. And so working in fashion and then...
Met your husband.
Yeah, met my husband. Not you.
No, not me, not me.
Yeah, ended up staying. And then I've been here now for like 12 and a half years, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Which is so long, yeah.
Going Crazy. Back to Stockholm, how would you describe that city to someone who's never been?
I mean, the first word that comes to mind is like pretty. I think it's like one of the prettiest cities I've ever been to because it's just got the water everywhere, all the buildings are really beautiful. It's like super clean and like everything's very like organized.
Yeah.
Like even walking down the streets, it's like the flowers are like perfectly done and I don't know.
I don't know why, but I've only been to Stockholm once and it was just for a few days, but I kind of felt like it was the best of every city I've ever been to put
really?
Into one.
Yeah.
It was like a bit of New York, a bit of Paris, a bit of London.
Yeah.
It's like got everything in a weird way.
Yeah, it's a great city. It's so nice. Like that's one place I feel like if I was ever to move from London, it would be Stockholm.
I felt the same way when I went. I was like, I could actually live here, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be quite an easy move because they speak English so well over there.
Yeah.
And it's not huge, so you feel kind of overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when we go and we just stay like in an Airbnb, it's like you just live in the city for like 4 or 5 days. And I think that's so nice about it. You can just kind of plop in and you can just go and walk everywhere. And
but doesn't Stockholm have the highest suicide rate or something like that because it gets so dark?
Yeah, I think like north of Sweden has the highest suicide rate. And I think, I don't know like exactly the stats, but because north of Sweden is so dark in winter. Like there's obviously weeks where the sun doesn't even come up.
Yeah.
So it's really tough. Like even when you do live in Stockholm or in Gothenburg in Sweden in general, like by February, March, you are like dying for some light.
Yeah.
Like it's so tough. And then in March, you're like, oh my God, spring's almost here. And then it's snowing again. And you literally want to kill yourself. Like
it's
so hard.
And then
it's
I guess
tough.
A lot of people just do.
Yeah. That's, I know.
Yeah. I mean,
but then you have the most amazing summers because then everyone takes all the holiday in summer. So everyone's off for like 5 weeks.
No wonder. They're all just like, oh my gosh.
Exactly. So everyone's just out like drinking and partying. It's just the best vibe in summer. So it's amazing.
Really?
It's very like extreme, like the winter and the summer, like very different.
And they really live for like the seasons over there. Like when you're doing summer, like you're doing summer properly and everyone's out and it's like a whole different vibe. And then winter, it's like shut down.
Like when I tell my friends, I'm like working all of July. They're like, oh, that's the most depressing thing I've ever heard. Bless you. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like I got a week off here and a week off there. But they think like you take your like a summer like holiday. Like you take like almost like you're in school. You take your summer break for like five weeks.
What a beautiful concept,
though.
Yeah.
I sometimes am a little bougie and will take August off.
That's nice.
But only because it's my birthday month. But I don't think this month I'll take it off. But I'm going to take like a weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's nice to have. Sometimes you actually need a few weeks to properly wind down.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
A week is not enough.
No, it's not actually.
Even 2 weeks, you're just really getting into it.
Yeah, it's true. Because I do say that's like some stuff they always talk about in Sweden. They're like, you do need 2 weeks to wind down. And then your actual kind of like rejuvenating holiday is kind of the next few weeks. So that's why they always say you should take at least like 3 weeks together.
I love this.
Yeah.
I really love that. Okay, so you were both in university and you didn't meet in university.
I didn't go to university.
So you were at ballet school.
Okay, yeah.
So
right,
kind of ballet university, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then I was at university. I stayed in Bristol. And then I guess I moved to London and I started working at the store All Saints. So I was on the shop floor. I kind of transferred from Bristol to there and I was like finding myself and being in East London.
Oh, finding yourself.
Oh, yeah. That was a good time.
I mean, I'm still in it.
I'm still looking.
Yeah.
And then we just met on the shop floor. So Amanda was working there as well. And we just became really good friends. And then I started interning in the press marketing team for All Saints. So their head office was above the shop. And then you started interning. And then being in that kind of job, in that environment, it's like you get to know each other real quick. Because it's like, it was quite intense. We'd have really long working days, press days, all of that kind of stuff. So, and like being like a young 22-year-old, it was like fab. And we were just like running around and living our fashion life.
Yeah.
And we were there for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
So it's a long time.
Together, doing all that together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was a small team. It was like, I did menswear press, she did womenswear press. We had a manager, and then a few different people kind of dipped in and out over the period. But yeah,
so
learned a lot.
Working, that sounds like a lot of events and things like that.
Yeah.
I can visualize. Stress levels high. You bonded, and then how did this conversation come up that you wanted to quit All Saints and start a company together?
I don't know. I feel like it got to a point where we were a bit tired of working there and things were kind of like not great. And I feel like every lunch break, we would like leave our desk, go outside and like sit outside and be like, oh, what can we do instead? Like, what about this? Mm. And then we both really, I feel like, connected over interiors and the whole Scandinavian thing.
And a big part was you were sort of telling me as well, oh, when I go back to Sweden, I see my friends' apartments and they're so amazing and they have this incredible stuff. And I'm like, I don't know where to find it.
And
where is it?
And all the shops I would go to when I went back. I'm like, there's so many amazing shops that sell interiors that are not crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. That's like really amazing bits.
Yeah.
But where do I find that
and
here?
And kind of for London, there's a huge amount of renters and it's kind of allowing renters to kind of do up their homes without spending loads of money. So it was kind of almost a business that we wanted for ourselves.
Yeah.
We were like, well, if we're craving this kind of thing, maybe other people are. And that's kind of where the little seed was sort of sown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were kind of, I guess, planning it for about a year.
That's a really good point, actually, about renters, because, you know, I rented for such a long time and I was like, what can I do in this space? And I don't want to spend loads of money on it. And I can't really paint and I can't do all this stuff. And how can I add those little touches? So now I totally understand where that idea came from. So that's cool. And when you talk about those stores that you went back to go see, like, what were some of those stores? Because I remember the first time I went into Hay.
Yeah.
I was in Copenhagen, and there's, like, a showroom there. I don't know if that's their main one.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Probably is.
I had never heard of Hay. Hay wasn't really very big at the time. And I walked in, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
One of those moments.
I was like, oh, these little glass things that you can put your paper clips in and these little things in the pillows. Oh, my God. Yeah, it gave me like a very weird feeling, which I'm sure you guys can relate to.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's one store in Gothenburg called Artilleriet, which is like my ultimate favorite like shop. It's amazing.
Okay.
They sell online as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've got amazing kind of curation of bits. And even when you walk in, like you get the scent or like the scent of candles and got candles lit everywhere. So you walk into this little like bubble almost.
Yeah, like someone's cozy living room or something.
Yeah, it's so amazing in there. Mm. You just want to buy everything.
Okay, so you're at your lunch break and you're like, what can we do? And she's telling you about these stores and blah, 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 blah. And then what?
It was quite a long process. So like I said, we were working at All Saints and it took about a year for us to like get it all down. And essentially it kind of sounds silly, but we went to a cafe at the weekend. We were like, right, well, let's meet this weekend and like really sit down and be like, how can we really make this work?
Mm-hmm.
And we just had like a big pen, big bits of paper. And we were like, right, well, we'll start with this circle. How does that get us to there? And then how does that get us to there? Well, we need a website. Well, who's going to make that website?
Yeah.
We need this. And it's obviously quite overwhelming, but we kind of broke it down into all these little chunks.
Like
and then
timeline
and
well,
we, yeah, and we did like an actual timeline, like month by month. Like, and that just suddenly was like, oh, like we could do that. It's going to take us like a year, but like, it kind of wasn't suddenly so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then we just started plodding through it.
I feel like even when we started doing the business plan, we're like, let's just do this one chapter. And then we just did that. I'm like, okay, so that's done. So let's do the next bit. And then while we were doing the business plan, we were then really thinking about all the things and doing all the market research.
Yeah.
So I feel like the business plan kind of made us really think through everything and then kind of get to the end.
Yeah. And especially, we had like a kind of a business tutor. I went to this kind of business school in East London. It was like a free business school for like a 4-day kind of crash course. And them kind of being like, yeah, like you guys have done it. Like it's all going to be fine. You've got like assessed all the risks and you've like, if this goes wrong, do plan B. And suddenly we were like, oh, okay, we can probably do this. So, and we spoke a lot with friends. Like that was really helpful, getting loads of feedback.
Mm-hmm,
like it changed a lot. It was like originally we were going to open a shop in Sweden, have a cafe, dogs and cats. And then suddenly it was like, actually, let's stay in London.
Mm-hmm.
Let's offer people something
and
that they don't have. Let's do it
with,
online. Yeah. Let's just kind of scale it back. But like, and then it kind of, yeah, then it sort of took shape.
Do you think one of the biggest parts of your success has been that flexibility of being like, this is our big dream, but maybe let's just start here?
Definitely. 100%. Yeah. Because I think also in terms of money, if you just invest loads of money straight away and you do this massive idea and this big plan, I feel like it's a lot of things that can go wrong. Right. Where we started very small. Mm. Like, we just got quite a small loan from this business center in East London and then bought like a tiny amount of stock and like just pay for essential bits and then really kind of slowly let it grow organically.
And I think if we'd got a shop, I mean, in London it's really hard with prices, but I think we would have felt a bit like tied down and just been stressing about paying the rent, whereas suddenly being online we were really flexible and we could do little pop-ups here and there. And it was when that kind of like a peer here were kind of happening and they were doing pop-ups for loads of people and we could approach places. I don't know, it just made us really kind of agile, and I think that was really important. Mm-hmm.
And was all of this beginning stage happening while you were still at All Saints?
We got all the stock when we were still at All Saints. We pretty much were almost ready to go before we left.
All the stock was in my flat.
Yes, all the stock was in Amanda's flat. I knew a friend of a friend, did like a Facebook shout out, like, any website designers out there, like, can they help us? And we got this really great guy who was trying to sort of do up his portfolio, so we were kind of a great sort of client for him in that sense, but we got a really good price. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things we did invest in, though, was the website, like really creating a solid website that we know that would like see us through for years. And we had he knew a graphic designer, so he helped us with like things like logos that we just didn't really know much. We kind of like, you know, when you see it, but you don't know how to like actually make it, and like color schemes and things like that. So that was really helpful, and actually having like an outsider give their input onto it. But I think we were pretty much ready to go once we left All Saints. There was a few hiccups, like a month or two of us kind of panic mode.
Yeah.
And actually was panic mode. Yeah. I was meant to move into a new flat that got like...
Which were meant to be our office as well.
Which was meant to be our office. So I'd got this like little flat and it had a two bed. So I was leaving East London, going to South London to be nearer to Amanda. And me and my boyfriend like packing up our flat and the estate agency calls and they're like, oh no, the guy's going to sell it. And we'd had it all like kind of on hold while they were renovating it for like 3 months.
Oh, it was literally and the all the day stock before.
Was,
no,
and
you
the
were
stock was
in.
Actually in that flat. Oh, so yeah. The builders had accepted all the boxes of all the stock. So it was like sitting in this room. I had that to get the train down there. Loads of stuff was smashed because obviously like things had been tipped over. And you know, you're like, this is great. I don't have a job. Yeah. And things are breaking. And then,
also not a flat. I haven't got a flat.
It was panic. I was getting mattresses and stuff. I was like, Amanda, you've got to like take my mattress. You've got to like take all this stuff. I don't know what to do with it. And it was all in her hallway. And then for 2 weeks, I had my cat. So for 2 weeks, I just lived at my friend's house. Like, no job. No, like, you know, you're like, I didn't have the distraction of going to work. So I was like, I'm just going to go back to Bristol and like see my parents for like a few days and like try not to freak out. And you were lucky, you kind of got on holiday.
I got on holiday, yeah.
So you had your holiday kind of booked quite good, like well timed.
Yeah.
And then luckily we found another flat and it was disgusting. Like, I viewed it and it was nice in the end, but like it was like,
the students
came in and it was like seven students living. Like, you know, like there's not like one bedroom, it's just like squat. And I was like, I guess I'll take it. Like, you know, you're like, I need somewhere to live. Yeah. And then we moved in and then finally things started. But that was a big, like, stressful hiccup that I was
what
not expecting.
London experience.
Totally. Yeah.
Has everyone gone through that?
Sure.
I'm just thinking about my own experience, very similar to that. Like, sitting on, like, the sidewalk late at night, like 11 at night, exactly the same. Rubbish bags around me, suitcases, and I'm just like, I have nowhere to live.
Yeah. How did this happen?
Yeah. And you have to stay calm through it.
You do. You can't freak out. That's the thing. Like, it's funny. Now I find it more stressful almost talking about it now than at the time. Because at the time, it was like, we just had to deal with it. And but that was quite like a big hiccup in the start, and then it started to kind of...
That was literally like our first week of like leaving our job, and that happened like straight away.
And the whole time you're like, I'm not earning any money, like, because the website wasn't live, and we were like blogging on the side of doing the website, so that kind of kept us busy, and that's how we started talking about like interiors and interior design and renters and stuff. So I was like, well, let's just do lots of that while we're waiting for things to kind of kick off. But there are so many little things about the business that we didn't even like think about. Mm. Like, how do you send a glass vase and it doesn't smash?
Well,
we were like, what were we thinking?
How do you?
Trial and error. Yeah. Like, it just, I mean, now it's hilarious. I literally, like, I remember putting things in a box and like taking it to the post office. And I was like, of course that's going to smash. No bubble wrap in it. I'm just like, the guy will be really safe. And I'll write fragile on it. And like, so you just learn, and it's just, luckily now we have like a company that helps us with that. Yeah, there's a system in place, so we'd have to worry about it. But you kind of have to go through all that and learn. Yeah.
So is it still just you two?
Yes.
Doing this thing?
Well, pretty much. We do have other little kind of freelancers that help us with things. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just full time, it's just this still.
Right.
And then we've kind of hired a few people here and there. So we've got like a guy who helps us with some of the like features that we put together. So he's really good like on the ground, like and helping us with that. And then just like we have like a really good shipping company. So that took a huge weight off of us having to physically be doing that.
So, so they keep all your stock?
We actually still keep it.
Yeah. Where?
In our studio now. So yeah, now, and then we moved, and then, yeah, so I feel like we're skipping a few moon steps. But yeah, so then we kind of moved into a new place, and we right. kind of like got that. They're a really good company that work just with small brands, and essentially they just like ship out your
they
stock.
They just come and collect it. Like, then collect they pack it. It up, get the right size box.
The dream.
They do everything. Yeah. They're tracking. You know, and like, yeah.
You went to, did the meeting with them, and you came back and explained it, and I was like, this is the best. Like, packaging excites me so much. Like, things being packed properly is like so thrilling to me. So yeah, knowing that was being taken care of was like the best.
And your studio is in Peckham, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there partying on the weekend.
Really?
I saw. Were you in Frank's?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you find it?
It was fun.
Yeah. It was good. I've never actually been.
Have you not?
No, that's I know. Crazy. It's crazy.
No, it was really fun. But we got there around 11 and all the food had stopped and we were so hungry. And then so we had to go off the rooftop and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I won't tell you about my hunger struggles. I'm always hungry. Okay, so all of these kind of like stresses aside, when did it really start to take off? Because you guys have done some really cool things like the pop-up in Liberty. Mm. I'm still not over that.
No way.
Like that was insane in the membrane. So when were you guys like, okay, like, wow, this is actually kind of going well?
I feel like you never feel like that when it's your own business. It's almost like...
That's a good point.
If you have like, we have arrived, everything's fine. Like you never feel like that. It's always like, okay, what's the next thing? Like how are we getting to the next point? And you feel like you're always looking up. Mm-hmm. To the next thing, you kind of forget to like stop and look back and be like, oh yeah, we actually, like we talk about it now, I'm like, oh yeah, we have come quite far.
Yeah.
But in your head, you're just like, okay, we need to do this, we need to get more sales and bigger office, you know.
I completely agree. And sometimes we do sit and stop and we go like, right, what happened this year? And we go like, oh no, that was really great.
Yeah.
And like, can you imagine like when we first set up thinking, oh, we'd be in Liberty.
Yeah.
But while it's happening, all we're thinking is, the van's not here with the stock and this sofa might have a mark on it. Or is it like you're just kind of so in the moment that you kind of stop to think that like it's actually really great and it's happening.
Yeah.
So, but no, that was definitely a pinch. Like when we did that initial meeting with her, like the woman who ran the homeware department, and she was like, oh, so you'd have this room. We were like, what?
And it was massive.
I was like, I thought she was going to give us like a table with like a few, and we'd have a few tables, like a few vases.
Corner somewhere, yeah.
We were like, oh, this is like a full-on production that we need to now somehow organize. And that's when it was quite scary. We were like, how do we do this?
How do we fill this massive space with enough stock? Like, and like, we have to get things like quite quickly made up from the factory. Like, that was quite stressful.
And like the manpower of even getting it in. And luckily, Liberty are like amazing. Like, just such an amazing company to work for.
That Liberty documentary.
I haven't actually seen it.
It's so good.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, more than you'd think. But I guess that's a really good practice if you do ever want to open up your own store. Just kind of like see how that works and everything.
Yeah. 100%.
Did you get great success from that? Like when people were walking through? I guess you don't often see people like looking at your products.
Yeah, that was really nice. Just seeing also people that don't know about us that just would just walk through and be like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And you kind of gauge what styles kind of do the best and having just chats with people.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Really nice.
Do you don't make your own products though, do you? Like you source them.
Yeah, we source them. So we work with
apart from you make the scented candles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I make the scented candles.
Like, literally yourself?
Yeah, literally in my kitchen.
Oh, I need to discuss that with you.
Yeah, it's like a whole process, like a whole thing. But yeah, apart from the candles, everything else is designers in Sweden and Denmark. And we've got a Finnish designer, but she's in England, but she makes our cushions and throws.
Some of the lovely cushions that you've got.
Yeah, I have so many of your cushions all over the place.
And so, we did, sorry.
No, you go
ahead. I was just gonna say, we designed a small ceramic range with a ceramicist in Sweden who's actually my auntie. So that was really, really easy. We were really keen to get, you might have seen the ones with the sort of gold rims and the little gold dripping down the sides. So we did a range with her that we kind of put together. And because she's my auntie, it was great. She was like, yeah, I'll make that. And they were like, insanely good sell. I mean, it's constantly sold out. It's really frustrating. We're like, make more, make more. We were like,
bless her, in Sweden, trying to quickly make them.
And every time she visits, I'm like, bring it. And every time I go, I like grab as much as I can. And yeah, so, and it's really sad. If anything ever like arrives and it's like chipped, we have to like keep it. And we're like, oh no, we can't throw it away.
It's so
too
sad,
precious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
One thing I really like from you guys that you gave me, it's a green teapot and then there's like a lemon squeezing thing.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that. I just cannot wait for my renovation to be done so I can like display all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a lovely piece. Yeah. I love
that. It is.
One.
I just like want to like juice lemons all day long.
Yeah. But I remember as well when we first got in touch with you, like we had a lot of pieces which are really kind of in your color tone, which was that kind of aqua greeny blue. And I remember you kind of being like, oh, I love this color. And you guys have got so much in like in that color. And you've got one of my auntie's bowls, which is the kind of with the green inside. And yeah, that was really, really nice. Yeah.
So I'm really jealous that you guys get to work together and you bounce ideas off each other. But do you guys have the same taste in everything? And I want to hear about the arguments.
I don't think we have that many arguments. Like, definitely maybe, like, disagreements sometimes. But I think we're quite good at, like I don't know, just discussing and resolving things. But mostly, I think, like, I don't really have any issues.
We do. I think it sounds weird, but because we've only ever known each other from working together, so we met working, we just have this really good working relationship. So I think we both like respect each other that we wouldn't kind of cross that line. Whereas if it was, say, my best friend that I started it with, maybe things could go sour. I think, and we've been in some like high stress situations from being in All Saints, and you know, it's never like you would never take it out on the person that you're working with. And I think that's something that we've never really had an issue with.
No.
And I think if we ever do disagree, it's only for the good because we have different opinions. So it's kind of, if you like something more, or I like, I don't know, and we'll kind of hash it out, and then actually maybe we'll have like find this like middle ground, which actually ended up being like the better solution.
Yeah,
and like in for, and sometimes you'll do something and I'll be like, oh no, you're right, or maybe I'll do something and we might be like, oh no, maybe that was better. I don't know. It's always kind of, we kind of find that mutual kind of agreement generally.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I think,
but you're definitely more of a perfectionist than I am, which is the ballet in you, which we need. I'm like,
but sometimes I'm too much. I would be like obsessive with this one thing and you'd be like, come on, let's go. Like, we need to hurry up. And I'm like, but this one little tiny thing. So I think it's quite good
it's
match.
A good balance.
I think that's what, from when we were at All Saints and we decided to set this thing up, we were both quite like, oh, we know this, that's not never going to be a problem. Like, the relationship, that's always going to be fine. And we also, like, his strengths are kind of my weaknesses and the other way around.
Right.
So we know we're quite like, we can match each other.
I never even thought about that element of the fact that when we were setting, well, I was so focused on, like, we want to do this brand. And I think because we both really wanted it to do well, I think that's always, it never even crossed my mind that, like, oh, God, what if this is really, I don't know.
I had some people asking me that, like, but what? Like, how can you do this with a friend? Like, what if it doesn't work out? And I'm like, no, trust me. Like, it will be fine. I know it'll be fine.
I mean, I've said that so many times before and it's not fine.
But it's really tricky. It's really hard.
Especially when money gets involved and all that stuff. I guess neither of you really went to like interior design school or anything like that. So have you just kind of like decided along the way what your style is, or... like, have you done any classes on, or do you think it's all about experience when it comes to interiors?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the more you work with it, the more you learn and read about it, the more it evolves. Like, I think back now, when we first started, how little we knew and how we're like, that's really cool. I'm like, that's actually not that cool. I don't know.
We learned a lot on the job.
Yeah, we learned a lot.
Yeah.
Which I think is why it worked out good that we started really small and then grew organically, because it gave us time to really learn the business and really...
Right.
Develop our taste and knowledge.
And that's the thing. And we've kind of said our thing is kind of, we're really into like the Scandinavian aesthetic. And that doesn't mean like black and white and monochrome at all. Like, I think we're quite colourful brand and we really celebrate kind of colour and personality. And then we got approached by people to help them do up their houses. And we were kind of a bit nervous at first. But then because they were like, but I just love what you guys do and what you talk about and your products. So we were like, well, then it'll be fine.
Right.
So it was so fun too? Yeah, we've
done
that.
We have done a few products, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So we did.
But on a smaller scale.
Which
I think it suits us. It's not like the kind of big. And we have done one kind of kitchen renovation thing, but that was like a tiny little kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's more the styling and sort of the kind of finishing touches,
yeah.
I would say.
So we've had, like, we had one client who got in touch with us. He was just like a fan of the brand, and she was like, oh, I've just moved in, it's like, it's all done and finished, I just really need, like, I'm just really struggling with like the direction. So we just helped her. We just got like the sofas, the chairs, the rugs, plants, like did all of that. And it was nice because we kind of could go into the space with sort of really fresh eyes and help her kind of we sort of would ask her, like, how do you want to use the space and things like that. And then when you present ideas and you have Photoshop and things like that, you can just kind of show them exactly how it's going to look. Mm-hmm. And they can feel really confident in what they're buying, because there's big purchases when you're getting sofas and chairs. And you don't want to get it wrong. So that was a really, those kind of projects were great. And then, yeah, like Amanda said, we did a sort of this, it was quite fun because it was a tiny flat, but then having to like make the most of every corner of space. So we did the kitchen and the bathroom, and yeah, that was a really good, really fun one. So if people approach, it's not something that we massively advertise, but if people approach us, we're like happy to like take it on if it feels right for us. Mm-hmm. If it was someone who wants like Lux Italian something, maybe that wouldn't be well, like we'd struggle with that. So we'd probably point them in someone else's direction.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, this is a call-in show, and I feel like this segues nicely into our first question.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Este. This is Ana Luisa calling from Southern California. Hope you're doing well. I just kind of wanted to share something, and hopefully you guys can shed some light on this or talk a little bit more about it. But I've noticed really early on in my life how my environment really plays a big role on my mental well-being and how I feel every single day. And I've particularly feel that we also need to consider shapes as part of the design process. I know that a lot of people, or myself personally, I used to just think about wall colors and plants and textures as part of my environment, but I've also been learning that shapes can also play a really big role on the influence of how you feel and creating a certain vibe. So I just wanted to know if you guys can talk a little bit more specifically in regards to shapes and lines and those kinds of designs and how they influence an environment and how they can play a role in creating a certain vibe or a certain feeling in the atmosphere. Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying the podcast. Hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
Oh, what a great, sort of great question.
Yeah,
that's really interesting actually.
And I think it's definitely true, like, if you have, that shapes do really play quite a big part of your overall sort of vibe of a room. Mm-hmm. Like she said, it's not just the wall colours and the kind of obvious things, but even stuff like the scent and the shapes and, like, the light, like, all, it's, like, so much that goes into creating that kind of, like, calm, nice vibe where you just feel like, it's relaxed.
Yeah. I think especially like in London, there's lots of boxy flats. You get like really hard lines and hard walls. And one thing that we often tell people is kind of like bring things out from the walls. So you don't necessarily have to have your sofa like pushed right against the wall, because then that kind of creates a hard line as well.
Yeah.
If you bring the sofa out and bring the chair in, it kind of just creates a softness where you get a sense of flow sort of from behind the furniture and underneath the furniture that then makes the room just have a nicer sort of feel to it.
Right.
And even if it's just like a few inches and people think, oh no, but that's wasted space. But actually, the overall feeling of the room will actually, it'll almost feel bigger because your eye line is being drawn further to the eye and it's not being pushed right to sort of like, sort of right up to the wall. So I think that's definitely a big thing that we try and sort of tell people. You don't have to have everything pushed against the walls and have this middle emptiness. It's like bring everything into the middle, which
that's a really,
really
interesting point. I mean, I just have such a new respect for interior design people. It is so hard to get that feeling right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she's talking about a lot, which is just like how a space can really affect your mental health.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Imagine going into a room that's like painted like red or something like that. Like that's going to change the way that you're feeling.
Yeah.
And as well, what you were saying about the scent, it's a lot of layered things coming together there.
Definitely.
And there's no like one formula. Like every flat or every home is different. So you kind of want to say, paint this green and get this thing and do that. But actually, then that flat might not work with those colors or that shape. So you have to almost, like I actually had this experience when I moved into, so I bought my first place and it's a really small little flat, but it's great. But the stuff I had from my rented place just didn't work. Mm-hmm. It was like this hard kind of, I had this kind of square kind of dining table and it, I don't know, and everything, you know, when you walk in, you're like, I just feel prickly. Like I feel like this just not working. And then I ended up buying this sort of round glass dining table, which I never would have picked out a glass round dining table, but it just like the space needed it. Like that's what the space was kind of.
And it made such a big difference.
And it made such
it really
a difference.
Did.
Yeah. And it's interesting. So it's kind of, you have to, I mean, one thing that people are doing up their homes is we say you have to live in it. You're like work. You can't almost, like how you've done with yours, like you've had to live in it and work out what like the issues are or what you feel is right. And then you just have to do it bit by bit. And also don't get too upset if something isn't right. Like if like you've painted something or you brought something in and like if it isn't working, like don't, it's like it's going to happen sometimes. You can't get it perfect.
Right.
Like until it's in the space and you're living in it, give it a few months. And if it's not right, like just repaint it next year or I don't know, like it's not rigid. I think people can get quite like, oh, but that's the wall color I've gone for, so that's it.
Right.
But fashion changes and so can your home. So like don't be fluid with it if you have the luxury to do that.
I know what you mean about that prickly feeling though. It's like an energetic thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is.
Well, really, because like interiors, it's a form of art, you know? So really, and I think sometimes I didn't really. Okay, I got a story for you guys. So you guys actually came to my flat.
Yeah.
When I first bought it, and it was bare.
Yeah.
And I actually, let's just tell everybody the circumstances under which we met. First of all, we met through Jules.
Yes.
So you both know Jules?
Oh, no, I met him, but it's more someone that you know.
Yeah, I kind of knew him through the sort of PR circuit and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so yeah.
And I think he was basically like, you have to meet these two. They're so cool. And then we met in Bermondsey, right?
Yeah.
Is that where we met?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we probably
did. Yeah, we went to like a park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee. Yeah, the watch
I think we'd like emailed a little bit beforehand. And then you were like, look, just come to mine. And we were like, oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. So everybody knows I live in Bermondsey. I'm like, so like not. When I first moved there, I'm like, I'm not going to tell anybody where I live. And now I'm like, I love Bermondsey. And I want everyone to know it.
It's so nice stunning. That,
But yeah. So we met and we had a coffee and I was like, why don't you guys just come back to mine? And I think you both were like, oh, my, she is crazy, which I am.
No, I was excited to meet Reggie. I was right. I was real.
My little baby. Yeah. So yeah, I bought the place and it was, I honestly, like, I had a vision of what it was going to look like. And by the time you get through all the paperwork and everything, you get in there and you're like, huh, so what am I actually going to do here? And it was a really stressful time for me. And I just bought a bunch of like really cheap IKEA furniture and I didn't know where to put anything. And I remember you guys gave me like so many tips. I mean, that feels like so long ago now.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, you guys both really made me think about the space in a different way. You guys have to come back and see it now.
I can't wait to see it. But you're
it.
Right. And your flat is a really good example because it is really unusual.
It is.
Like the layout. So I could see how you were struggling.
Yeah.
Like, and. But, I mean, from what I've seen at the moment, it looks insane.
It looks really great. But exactly. When I first saw the flat, I was like, look at these windows. I love it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And then when you start thinking practically, like, okay, where am I going to put the couch? And this is an angled wall. So how am I going to do this? And, like, just really figuring out the flow.
Yeah.
So I've been living in it for a while now, over a year, I would say. And the things that I've noticed about that place that I'm like, I need to fix this and I want this to feel a certain way. But then you reach these roadblocks of like, you know, I can't have cupboards in my kitchen because there's a pull down thing where the AC unit is and like all these. And it's like you have to accept you can't necessarily have whatever you want.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
and especially with like budgets, you can't like if your budget's no question, you can pretty much do whatever. But actually, a lot of people are working to a budget. So it's like, how do you make the most of that? And also not waste. You don't want to waste money at the same time.
Well, and totally. Like, and, you know, when you're doing home renovation, you might have a budget, but you might as well double it because of all the drama that's going to go on.
And the time. The I would time. Always double the time.
The time and money every time.
And no one wants to accept that. And people are like, no, like 2 weeks. You'll get it done in 2 weeks. Yeah. And you're like, it just won't. It's just... And like we say to people, like, which I'm sure you know, we're like, try not to live in it. Like, you're not going to want to live in the dust and the mess. It's,
well,
which is hard.
I was one of those people that was like, we're going to get this whole thing done in 3 months. Like, I was like, of course we are. That's what's going to happen. Well, it's not happening. And I am living in it.
It's still going.
And I'm going insane. But we're kind of near the finish line now. But yeah, going back to that energy feeling, it's like, home is so important to me.
Oh.
And I think I really realized it when I was living in that time of like, just like furniture that was super mismatched. And it wasn't like, it didn't make me feel good, not to like bring Marie Kondo into it, but like it didn't give me joy.
No joy spark.
Exactly. So when you're living like that for say 10 months or, you know, longer, I mean, I just felt like I was in such a limbo mode. And I think a home can really anchor you, can kind of anchor your soul. I mean, maybe I'm getting a little deep here.
No, I completely agree.
But I'm such a homebody anyway that, like, home is so important to me.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Like, I find it crazy when people, like, don't care.
Yeah, you go to someone's home and it's, like, it's a nice place, but you can see no love or effort's gone into it.
Right.
And I'm like, I'll be so
and
depressed
they, and
living
And they
kind of
go, like,
this.
I'm just not into interiors. Yeah. And it's like, no, but you don't have to be into interiors. But trust me, if you're this was, like, a lovely space and you just, like, made a little bit of effort, you would be like, I can't wait to come home. I can't. And you would, like, your whole vibe and how you feel would change. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
It's like even with fashion. It's like you don't have to be super into fashion. But just, like, if you just wore, like, some clothes that made you feel really good, like, you're going to feel good. And, like, it's that I think that's a huge part of it. And I think in Sweden, it's like, that's just kind of like ingrained in the culture, like having a nice home and a nice space. And that's kind of what we're trying to tell people in England. It's like, look, you don't have to, I think people think like, oh, that's them. Like that, you're like, that's what they do. Like, I'm different to that. And it's like, no, but like everyone can have we're all can have a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to cost loads. It can just be.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. And speaking of not costing loads, I have a question. Actually, my mom has a question.
Hi, Estee. It's your number one fan, Kelly, your mom. I've got a design question for you. I've got some sort of a modern vibe going on in my family room, and most of my furniture is kind of new, but I've always loved the Scandinavian vibe, and I'm just wondering, is there any one or two pieces that you can put into that space that would go without breaking the bank on it? So maybe a chair, and if so, what do you need to look for when blending a couple different styles together? Do you look for the same height of the sofa and the chair, or what exactly would I need to do? Are there any rules?
I'm obsessed with my mom.
That is so cute.
That's so sweet.
She was so excited that you guys were coming on because she was like, who's your next guest on your podcast? And I sent her the link to your Instagram. She was like, oh my God.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love her.
I see her point, which is like, you know, you want to change the space and you don't necessarily want to spend loads of money. You have a certain style of furniture. So what are some small things people can do? Are we talking accent pillows? I mean, you're the perfect brand to talk about this.
I mean, I'm all for kind of mixing and matching styles. Like, I really like having something modern and then something maybe vintage or something classic Scandinavian, something British. I think as long as you have something tying it together, which could be like kind of a color scheme. So it all just kind of like easy for the eye to look at.
And like a color tone.
Oh,
so
yeah,
if you do love like green and pink, you could go for like tones of green and pink that kind of complement each other.
There's a few colors that kind of all go together. I think then you can kind of mix and match quite a lot, I think.
I think as well, a big thing is that we get this a lot where people kind of are like, obviously it's hard to say with your mum and without seeing the space, but where people say like, oh, but like, tell me what to exactly buy. And I think, but you're living in it and you're using it every day. Like, what do you like? And if you love that like lime green chair, then get the lime green chair, because then you're going to love sitting in it every day. But also I get it, people want it to feel cohesive, and I totally understand that. And I think if people are sort of they've got a few, maybe if they're renting or they've got some mismatched pieces and they want to sort of bring it together. I mean, like a really easy and it sounds like simple tip is like getting like sheepskin, like lammies that you can like throw off the back of a chair.
Yeah.
And then maybe have like one on the sofa and then get some
sheepskins.
Cushions.
I love them.
It's just same. Instant coziness.
Yeah,
like.
It is.
Well, speaking of sheepskins, when my mom was redoing her place, we went to IKEA and she was just really going for it. And I was like, what about these sheepskins? And you can, and she's like, well, what am I going to do with that? And then I was like, put it on the back of the chair.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you mean? It just lays there? I'm like, yeah. You just put it on the back of the chair. She was kind of like not really going for it. I'm like, trust me, get the sheepskin. We put it on the chair. Let me just say, it's still on the chair.
Oh.
It's still on the chair.
No, especially on the back of like a
wooden chair. Or wooden bench.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice touch.
Where do you get your sheepskins?
Well, I think you've got some from a supplier that we work with,
Denmark,
the Danish supplier.
Yeah.
Do you sell sheepskins?
We don't know.
Oh,
we
my
get
God,
some.
Guys.
Yeah, we should.
There we go. I saw those eyes.
Yeah, no, we were like, oh, okay. shifty eyes. I actually just got some from IKEA.
Yeah.
You know, like the little grey, like tight
yes,
curl.
I
love those ones.
Yeah.
They're just perfect. So I've got black kind of like gloss chairs which is quite modern almost, but like with the sheepskin over the top just makes it feel really cozy. Yeah, like I said, it's tricky without seeing it. I don't think you need to necessarily worry about like heights, like too much of furniture. I think if she really loves the furniture, she can keep it. But like you said, a really great way is cushions and also like artwork and prints.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're scared of like making loads of holes, like using those command strips to like stick them on and then you can like play around.
Yeah.
Like the difference, like a few cushions and some artwork on the wall will make to kind of tie the space together is like insane.
And like textiles in general, like curtains and throws, like all of that makes such a big difference.
You guys have the best throws.
Oh, yeah, I do love our throws.
Those wool blankets. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And Reggie is constantly trying to lay on it. I'm like, get off the blankets, bro. So we were talking earlier about paint. So if someone is trying to paint their place, I mean, I'm currently picking my paint right now. I'm going with a gray.
Nice.
I've seen. Have you picked the color?
Not quite yet. I'm going to get 3 more samples today because I just want to make sure.
And
you know, you need to do the swatches and you need to kind of live with it for a minute and see it in the light and the dark.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah, but this is the fun part now.
Yeah.
But someone's actually written in a question, emailed it through, and they said, what paint color looks sophisticated and elegant besides white? I feel like all interior design lately is white. How can my home be chic with color?
Ooh.
So I'm not a color person personally. I don't know if I would paint a wall a color personally. That's a lie. I think I probably could.
You've got that. Is this going in your like big open plan space?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with your neutral approach.
Because it will be a bit much, maybe having a whole space like that.
And you could go for like a really muted pink or a really muted green or something. But I like the gray.
That would be lovely. Yeah. I mean, going with the green kitchen.
Oh, well, exactly. You've got your color in that
way. Exactly. That just about killed me to make that decision. But yeah, what kind of paint colors are nice? What kind of shades and tones would you...
I mean, I think in general, what you were saying about muted colors, like, I think that's a really nice way of going.
Mm-hmm.
Like a green. Like, I'm obsessed with green at the moment. I feel like that's definitely, like, almost like a big trend coming
and
in now. The
green is just the loveliest color.
It's so calm, and it just goes with everything. Mm-hmm. And a grayy kind of green, like, that's, like, a really nice, I think, sophisticated.
Yeah.
That just goes with everything, but still gives a bit of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's, like, I guess coming from nature, it's always going to feel quite nice in the home. Like, I've actually just painted my hallway green, and I did the thing. I had, like, 6 swatches, and they looked so different on the wall to how they did on the tin. And I went for this kind of quite greyish green, and I just love it. Like, you know, when you just walk in, and that's the thing, is like, it's again with the furniture, like, if there's one that just keeps catching your eye, and even if you're like, but I wasn't going to go for that one, I'm really surprised, like, I was going to go for the more neutral one.
Yeah.
Just keep going for that one, because then once you do it, you just walk in, you really do love it in the space.
Yeah.
And in my living room, I've got like a really pale pink. So again, it wasn't a color I maybe thought I would do, but it kind of just worked. And so I think if she does want to try a bit of color and doesn't want to do white, because white can be quite stark.
Right.
So sometimes, if you, like, yeah, like the muted side of the color palette, like,
well, even like the Fire and Ball, like, strong white, which is like,
that's one of my samples.
I love that one.
That's the one. That's the current
really
one right now is strong white.
Yeah,
one of my favorite shades.
Lovely.
I
maybe
love
that's
it.
A sign from the universe.
Yeah. It's such a nice color.
It's nice and warm.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it really looks so nice in different lights, and the morning light and the evening light. It's just such a beautiful color.
I wish you could all see my face right now because I'm like, that's the color I'm thinking of going with. Well, yeah. Well, I have a question. Is Fairwind Ball and like more expensive paints, is it really better than just the standard ones?
I just feel like they got the best shades.
That's where
that's
I
the
feel.
Thing. Like the little green also got amazing shades.
It's the finish.
The finish is,
so they have this really lovely like chalky finish, which I know a lot of people who have kids and families, they're like, oh no, but greasy fingers and things like that. So maybe it's not the most practical if you've got kids and you're in a hallway. But like if you're not worried about that, like, that chalky.
They do have the glossy ones
and they,
as
you
well,
can get the emulsions as well. But if you go for like the classic estate emulsion,
well,
the
wait,
light
let's just
bounces
back
off it.
Up the bus.
We said a whole lot of stuff.
What should I be painting my walls? Because I picked the color. And then, I was going to go for the emulsion. But is that wrong?
What have you got the chalky
one?
So I go for the estate emulsion, which is like the kind of Farinball classic.
Estate emulsion. Yeah. I'm writing that down.
So that's just like, and that's like for your everyday, like if you were painting your bathroom, you probably wouldn't go for estate emulsion because it's like an everyday like chalky tone. Whereas, what's it called? Modern emulsion?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what it's
called.
It's
got a slight sheen to it. So it's a bit more hard wearing. So like good for kitchens and if you need to wipe. I wouldn't say it's like a kind of super strong, like, you know, like you can get like those kitchen paints that are like insane. But definitely better for like a room that's going to be like touched. If that makes sense.
Okay.
A room that's going to be touched.
No, no, you mean.
But like where hands and like if you've got like a bathroom and there's going to be like splashes and things like that. I mean, I probably personally wouldn't even use modern emulsion in a bathroom. I think it would be a bit risky. I've just tiled all mine. But anyway, like, I don't know. If that's the one that you'd go for if you want something a bit more hard wearing. But I'd go for estate emulsion.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. That sounds nice. So it's matte. It's like
chalky. Yeah. I've actually got strong white in my little like landing.
Oh yeah.
And it's really nice. It's just like a really lovely finish.
Okay. And then when we're talking about ceilings, am I going the whitest of the white of the whitest of the white?
Oh,
that's
really
a good question,
tricky.
Actually.
I'm thinking of your space.
I think if you have like strong white, it looks quite nice having that next to something really pure white because then you really see the actual shade of it.
You've got like spotlights, haven't you?
Yes.
I think go for like a bright white.
Okay. And then on the boards around the floor, what do you call those?
Like the skirting.
Skirting boards. Yeah. What do you think of that? Am I going with the same as the ceiling, the whitest white?
I think.
What's your skirting?
Yeah,
is it like. I would say if you were in like a Victorian or Georgian house, it's quite nice to like paint the skirting the same color.
Okay.
But because your space is a bit more modern.
I would go for white.
I would go for white.
Okay, that's what I'm doing.
To give a clean line. And again, like Amanda said, you'll get you'll see the like wall color compared with the skirting.
Which
and that'll
nice.
Be really nice.
Yeah. And what do you think of wallpaper? Because, and everyone listening to this doesn't know this, but I had a meltdown and ripped my monkey wallpaper off.
Which we just found out as well. So. Did you, when was this?
Or with your fingernails?
Maybe,
in the night.
Two days ago, I was in my tub and I was like, you know what, monkeys? It's been kind of fun, but I'm over you. And I just got out of the tub. I mean, this was like one of those like Britney moments when she shaved her head. It was like that, except I tore down the wallpaper. And I know you just said that you wouldn't paint it, but I'm just going to paint it.
No. I was saying I maybe wouldn't paint it with modern emulsion.
Right.
You could definitely find a really good bathroom paint to like 100%.
Okay.
Do you know what color are you going to?
I'm just going to do everything strong white or
color. Yeah.
That's good.
Do you think so?
You'll be fine. Yeah. And also, I feel like your bathroom that you've got, you're like your ensuite. I feel like that's normal. You're like.
My like
you
cute
can
little
kind of,
place.
Yeah, you can kind of like with that one. You want it to be like a sanctuary.
Actually, now that I have, I've got another question. So I'm talking about door handles. So all of my light switches and my like kind of accessories are black.
Mm-hmm.
Should I do black door handles?
That's nice. Like a kind of matte black.
That's what I was thinking.
That is nice. The only thing is, are they like? How do they get with like hand like grease? Like, do they get like?
I don't know.
Because that's the only thing I would
What's
be a bit worried
handle?
About.
Is it like a round or is
I
it a lot? Are they long?
I need to buy all new ones.
Oh, so you can do whatever.
The world is my oyster.
I quite like those long ones that are black and matte. I think they're really nice.
Okay.
I was trying to look for an example. I can't see anything. But if you're going for like handle like that rather than round, I think matte black would look really chic.
Especially if that's where your light switches are, I think that would be nice.
Right. And your touch points, this is like something that we talk about a lot as well. It's like, even though I know budget, but like, your touch points you should splash out a little bit more on, because the things that you're touching is the things that you're, A, they're going to get the most wear, but also it's like if you're touching something that does feel and look the most expensive, like I would kind of splash out on those things. Like you getting like nice like light switches, like that just makes such a difference.
It really does. When you walk into a house, someone's spend a bit of money on that, you're like, ooh. Yeah. Like, everything is so nice.
And like the taps
so
and things like that. It's like that's things that you're like, you see that more. Whereas sometimes like you could then maybe like save on getting like, I don't know, a slightly like cheaper bathtub. Or, I don't know, maybe that's a touch point. That's a bad example.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean.
My bathtub.
Oh my God, it looks insane.
It is. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Have you got the like taps that come up at the middle? Or are they?
They come in the middle, yeah.
Oh, nice. So they're not like in the way.
That's such a good shout.
It's really something. Although it's quite deep and I need to find a good bath pillow.
Okay.
And one thing I did screw up on is there's no place to really put my wine because it's kind of like a freestanding tub.
Yeah, you need to think
that's
about
like
these
the
things.
That's the best problem to have ever. Where do I put my wine when I have my bath?
Last night I was walking home and it was just like me, my bags, and a big bottle of wine, and the like concierge in my apartment just looked at me. He's like, okay, girl, just go have your bath.
Oh my God, I saw this meme yesterday and it's like a picture and it's like someone in Marks and Spencer's where there's like the wine rack and there's like a 2-pint of milk left on the wine rack. And it's like someone made a decision. They were like, I'm not having tea, I'm getting that. It's just classic.
I never used to be one of those people who like drinks wine alone.
No, but I think it's a lovely age thing.
Yeah,
I think it's like
growing up.
Yeah, because I think it's a nice, I think I grew into doing that. I think you have as well. And it's kind of like, I feel very like mature.
For sure.
Because you're like, I'm gonna have a nice bottle.
Nice bottle
and
of
you're
red.
Not just getting drunk.
Yeah.
You're like,
just
enjoying
having,
your
just
life.
Just one glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very weird. And I kind of catch myself and I see myself from above and I'm like, you're just like listening to jazz and having a glass of wine
heaven.
In your
bathtub. Sounds lovely.
It is.
But
it
was like you've like, Amanda's like getting these like, you invested in getting some nice wine from, what's it, Majestic?
Majestic, yeah.
And they do like a delivery service and
okay.
you pick
so
like your 6 bottles and like.
It came literally the next day.
I was like, that is grown up.
Knocked
chic.
On my door with these like wine. I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Do you drink red or white?
Mix. I love both.
Yeah, I do too.
Can't choose.
I was on the white last night, so I'm a little bit headache.
I honestly think red wine hangovers are the worst thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so fun. All right. Well, we are about to wrap it up. I would love to know what upcoming projects you guys have. Like, where do you envision this going?
Well, we hopefully, well, like you said, we're in a studio in Peckham at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I know we were talking to you actually ages ago. We were like, we want to be in Bermondsey. We want to be in the London Bridge. So like that's still very much on the cards. So we're like kind of sourcing things out.
We've been viewing.
So I think the something that we really want to do is just kind of like expand our showroom and get, because we've got so much stuff that we have that
do
we want to show.
Do you want to be south of the river?
That's
where you want to be.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I love being south. And I think it's quite nice that people kind of come and find us. They kind of like discover us and they're like, And being in Peckham is great because we get lots of like locals, but I think being a little bit more central, so like near London Bridge, it would just be great for us. And we've seen some amazing spaces, but we can't talk about it until we know what's happening. So yeah, but that would be insane if we could do that.
I think we want to get a bigger showroom so we can get more things in and kind of have
and
people
like have
come.
Events.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, cool.
And do like we could do like little press breakfasts and do parties and. Whereas at the moment, the space is just that little bit too small and a bit off the beaten track, maybe. And expanding the collection. We've got like lots of new things coming out soon. So that's really exciting.
And soon you're going to be selling sheepskins.
Oh, and sheepskins range is coming.
Yeah. I want a cut of all those sales.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Okay, so where can people find you if they're listening to this episode and they're like, I need to get one of those lemon juicers?
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
So online. So we're online. So it's at pinta.com.
Let's spell it out. We've
so
got.
Yeah.
I will. It is AttPynta. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
See our feed.
And if you find Kai and Amanda, like normally it will come up. And,
right.
Because we do that. We write a column with Evening Standard as well.
Yeah.
So people kind of find us through that as well, which is quite cool. So
and you
there's
had a
ways.
Feature in Elle magazine too or something? Was that a while ago?
They've been really like, they've done a few little features, yeah. which has been yeah. really lovely. And that's actually how the Liberty thing came about. The woman right. saw us in Elle magazine, which was like just so insane that that like led to that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I wonder, like, with interior stuff, if physical magazines are kind of, like, more important almost than social media? Because is interior still kind of an old school sort
yeah.
of
I feel thing? Like it is. I feel like actual print magazines mm-hmm. are still, like, a thing in interiors.
Yeah,
well,
I think it
more than fashion. Like,
I think it definitely holds a lot of gravitas.
Yeah,
I think
because
the trends aren't as, like, quick in interiors, so people can kind of, like, mull over the yeah. months and kind of, like, have a look. But I also think, on the flip side, the like social media has definitely exploded in interiors in terms of
yeah.
a lot of bloggers that I guess that we would have worked with in All Saints that were exclusively fashion now are lifestyle. So
right.
and maybe they've grown up and they've bought their first place mm-hmm. and now they're doing their homes up. So it's really fun to see that people are really excited about interiors yeah. over here at like sort of at a younger age. It's not just yeah. kind of like we thought, oh, well, maybe when we do this, it'll be really exclusive. And how do we where do we fit in with this? Because we were trying to target a slightly younger mm-hmm. demographic maybe, but actually it's been really like accepting and yeah. amazing, and everyone, like all the different people that we meet from interiors, whether it's like influencers or magazines, just like so nice, so like wants everyone to succeed and do really well. It's really really
nice. The
interiors
world is really lovely. Everyone is so nice. Yeah.
Yeah, really encouraging. Yeah. It's nice. And I feel like we're kind of the same with other people. So even if there's people that are doing their own brand, it's like, great, you're doing you, we're doing us. Like, I feel like there's space for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, so long as you're doing it because you love it and you love what you, I don't know, what you're selling, then great.
That's
and I think
nice
it's
sentiment.
Definitely great. Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
I think there's space for everyone.
Yeah.
And it even shows that it is growing. Like, places like H&M Home are like popping up everywhere. And
oh
it's
my
insane.
God.
Have you been to the new one on Regent
yes,
Street?
Yes.
I haven't been. Is
Arquette
it insane?
As well?
Oh, I love Arquette.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love
God.
It.
I buy everything from Arquette.
Yeah. They've got some really nice
yeah,
pieces.
Some really good stuff. I think
yeah.
we should need to go there now after this. Have a little look.
Lucky
yeah.
you guys.
Oh, I'm just gonna knock over the shelf, like how dare you. No, but like, again, their stuff's different and they've got another and I think you can't think of people as shopping exclusively with one place. People go everywhere and
yeah.
I think that's great. And we encourage that. We mm-hmm. kind of say, like, you might get a sofa from us, but then you might get this from there. And like, that's how people live. Like, you can't.
How do your velvet sofas wear? Like, if you sit on them, is all that velvet going to get messed up?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
The ones that we sell are just 100% cotton and it's like Italian velvet. So it's really hard wearing.
Okay.
Like proper velvet.
That
so,
was something I wondered.
Yeah.
Every time I look at those couches, I'm like, that's nice, but is my butt going to be imprinted in that velvet?
No.
I think with like a lot of other places, they do sell like polyester velvet, which
right.
is slightly different. I feel like they're good for, you can clean a bit easier, but they don't like wear as nice over time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Whereas 100% cotton velvet, like in 10 or 20 years time, like it will look a bit more worn, but it
yeah.
will look really cool. Like it'll be like a nice patina.
Like how you'd
like,
see in like Shoreditch House
yeah.
or something, where it starts
right.
to like age a little bit, but it
but
just
like
gets
in a nice
it,
way.
In a
yeah,
nice
it
way.
It gets like an antique-y vibe, but
yeah.
like, I mean, I've got one at my house and it definitely doesn't leave bum imprints. But I think because if you've got a thick pile, like that's,
yeah.
we always look at that. We're like, what's the pile? What's the nap?
Yeah.
And if you've got a thick pile, like it's going to take the pressure of different weights. Whereas sometimes like a thinner velvet where it's almost like a, I don't know, not hasn't got that much sort of fabric
mm-hmm.
or the nap's really thin. That's when like imprints will be made
yeah.
and it will start to
the
sort
mark.
Of piss.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. I've got some more ideas that for things you guys need.
Tell us.
Rugs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Get me some of those flat weave Scandinavian rugs.
Yeah, that actually is something we, because the ones
yeah.
we have at the moment, we've got more just kind of fluffy rugs.
Yeah.
Those classic Scandi rugs.
Those flat.
We need to find
sexy
yeah,
rugs.
I know what you mean. We need to get some.
Do
of
you mean
those.
Like the striped, kind of the striped ones?
You can get
no.
like striped ones or like, it's like a flat weave. I don't know how to explain it. But they're
like hard wearing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Super hard wearing.
Yeah.
I need some of those rugs. I was looking at some last night. I was like, 3,000 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my dog shits all over my carpet, so not going to spend 3,000 pounds
no,
on it.
No. You know, rugs can be really expensive.
Really expensive.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
It's crazy.
Rugs
and then
are so hard.
When you get the cheaper ones, like I've bought cheaper rugs, and then after 2 years, they are like ravaged.
Yes.
It's real, really annoying.
Yeah.
And that's why often you see a lot of rugs get passed down through generations. So like
totally.
If mums and dads have had
like
a really
I've
amazing.
I've got some like.
You've got
Persian
one.
Rugs been passed down. And
yeah,
they are like really
one.
Old, but they look amazing
yeah.
still.
Wow.
So like that's, you're right. Rugs are really tricky.
It is.
They
yeah.
are.
And finding that good price point.
And what else? Slippers? Do you guys have slippers?
No.
Estee's like, I need slippers. I want some tea. Just start stocking it. Well, no, we haven't done slippers.
No.
But funnily enough, the guys that we we work with who do the sofas, the designer in Sweden, she sells slippers randomly.
Yeah, with
her bedding.
Yeah.
Well, her bedding, maybe.
Is it random?
It's not random. It's home.
Yeah.
It's being
at
home.
Bedding. Do you guys like linen bedding or what's the vibes?
Love linen.
Love linen. I like a mix. I've got like a really nice set. Talking of H&M Home, they do a really good linen bedding.
Oh,
like 100% cotton linen. It's cut on like the H&M like bit more luxey range. But for the price that it is, it's really good because linen bedding can be crazy expensive.
Really
So they've got really nice colors. Like I've got like a rusty red one with like pinky cushions and grays. But yeah, linen bedding's lovely.
Yeah. But I do like the kind of old school, white, crispy cotton. Like, I love that as
well. That's what I have right now. Yeah,
like hotel. Heaven.
I love it. But linen is just great. I'm trying to think if I've got, we're really going over time here.
You're like, what else could I get? You're like, you'll get our invoice, Esther.
Exactly. But I have one other thing to say.
No, but it's really good.
It is.
You're in the middle of doing your house. It's really good for us to hear what you're struggling to find.
But I loved kind of what you were saying about how, you know, you've been watching these bloggers and stuff over time and how they are switching to more lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I obviously started off doing beauty, and of course I still love beauty, but I think that's what's going on with me. I'm in the middle of a change, which is, you know, my interests are shifting. I'm getting older, and it's like, lifestyle stuff and these things that make me feel more calm and stuff, that is what it's kind of all about.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your candles really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So what are they made of?
So they're a mix of kind of natural soy wax and paraffin wax. It's a mix, which is basically because paraffin wax really hold the scent really well. So that's why I mix it. Because I like candles that like give a proper scent. And then we got sort of oils that sort of mix them. I'm at home like stirring in the pot, pouring everything in, measuring.
Oh, that's so
boiling
cool.
it. And then,
I want to learn
how
to do
then
that.
Then pour into little holders.
It took a while
to get it like right.
Your candles are great. I had no idea that you make them.
Yeah.
They're
I think
creamy.
That's and that's how we kind of managed to get like a really good balance because it was like months of experimentation and like burning because we're like candle freaks when it comes to scented candles. And I was like, if we're going to do it, I want it to like have a really good smell and like you really, like you walk in a room and you can really smell them when they burn. And I think that's what a lot of people...
But not like a sickly,
nothing too sugary.
I want that creamy,
musky.
If you guys are listening and you want a new candle, seriously, I'm not just saying this. I remember you guys gave me one of your candles and I was like, damn.
Yeah. Oh. We've got a new scent. We'll get you a new... Some of them.
I'm also obsessed with diffusers and misty things. And
yeah, we haven't got into that yet.
No.
That, I do love that as well.
I do.
Yeah.
I have kind of a couple of diffusers at home. Yeah. It's just kind of like all the time nice smell then. You'd have to worry about lighting it.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the like steamer.
Oh,
me neither.
Do you love it?
Please get one.
But is it like... I always worry that it's going to be like steamy in the room.
I have one on my desk and the steam, you guys can't see the finger motion I'm doing right now, but it comes up kind of like as if it was like coming out of Aladdin's lamp.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing my emails and it's got like my eucalyptus oil in there and I'm like living.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, do you have the Muji one or is it?
You can get the Muji one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I used to have that. I forget the brand name, but I also have one from Neom.
Neom.
I'm actually having the founder of Neom on the podcast.
Oh,
soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So exciting. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I better wrap this up now because this is how.
We're going to just chat about everything.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast and giving me so much advice. And I'm sure that everyone listening really found it interesting as well. So make sure you go follow them at Pinta. And subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And if you're feeling in a good, friendly mood, leave us a rating on iTunes as well.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.